Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
All the churches in Mosul are closed, and with the imposition now of a very strict Islamic law inside Mosul, it's looking increasingly unlikely that they'll be able to return anytime soon.
When Christian churches move to dealing with social causes, when you've lost the gospel, you have nothing unusual to offer.
Look what he did with Joseph. Look what he did with Jesus. And then consider what he can do also with you, because God specializes in raising the dead.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love Issues Etc. Bye.
Well, we're coming off a very eventful weekend here at Lutheran Public Radio and Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference concluded on Saturday this weekend. It made for a short weekend, but also one that was very much worth it. We had an opportunity to see, to meet, to speak with, golly, I think at some point we were at about 315, somewhere in that neighborhood, of our listeners from all over the country, including Canada, 31 states. Well, at least at the registration count, 31 states were represented there. It was a great opportunity, great guests, great speakers, and of course, our great listeners and supporters there at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. We are back to you live this Tuesday afternoon. It's the 17th of June. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We did take a day off so that we could rest and do some of the things. I had a lot of running around to do yesterday. And so we had to have a little time to do that, but we are back live with you on this Tuesday afternoon. We're going to kick it off with some listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris of the Ruth Institute will join us. We'll talk about Roman Catholics and the Republican Party. There have been conversions of politicians to Roman Catholicism. There are bridges being built. What has been in place for a long time, really about 25, 30 years, kind of a Roman Catholic intellectual front, is being tapped into by more conservative voters and lawmakers. What's the relationship here? Why have Roman Catholics traditionally been understood to be, well, solidly in the swing category? They are to be wooed and to be convinced in their issues, while they're not universal, are certainly something that puts them on common ground with many American evangelicals and Christians generally. We'll talk about that with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse a little bit in the second hour of the program. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us, host of the radio program called Law and Gospel. We'll be teaching a weekly Sunday school lesson with him, Elijah the Prophet, at the Brook Cherith. God keeps him alive. We'll find out why and what it's all about. Its connection to baptism in hour two of Issues, etc. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our call-in number live this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc.
So have you recovered from the conference?
Not really, to tell you the truth. I was very tired on Sunday afternoon. I don't know, more tired than usual. Took a nap, and then yesterday it was the same thing. About 3 or 4 o'clock, just had to go lie down. So I have recovered mentally, but physically, I don't know. Did your feet hurt as bad as mine hurt on Sunday evening?
My legs hurt. My feet hurt, but my legs. I thought my hips were going to become disjointed from my legs. I don't know. I think I need hip replacement surgery.
Lord Feichinger. But you didn't sit down. For those 2 days of the conference.
I think I'm really bad shape maybe too, but yeah, I did, you know, I mean, this there's like maybe 30 steps or something you got to go up and down or something. It's not that, You know, it's not like I'm going up, Nebraska football stadium or something like that. But yeah, I was really sore, and I went Lord Feichtinger to check the workman's comp package we have here at Lutheran Public Radio, see if I need hip replacement surgery, if that'll be covered.
What was the highlight for you? I mean, it's hard to. I'm still digesting much of what happened. I think the attendees are doing the same thing. But what was the highlight of the conference for you?
The highlight is meeting listeners and you. Hearing from them the impact that God's word has had on their lives.
Absolutely.
On their lives. That's just unbelievable. Craig Parton, we got an email from him today, and he's just like, wow. It's just amazing, you know, the loyalty of the listeners, you know, how many of them became Lutheran listening to issues, et cetera. So, I'd say just getting to meet our listeners and talking to them was definitely a highlight. What about you?
Oh, it's hard to pick it out, really. I mean, that goes at the top of the list for me. Because, and one of the things that impressed me was, and I told you about this earlier today, the number of listeners who at the conference who said, oh, I only started listening to you 6 months ago. I only started listening to you a couple months ago. And I almost wanted to say, what are you doing here? I mean, how could it have that kind of impact on you that you would travel, and some of them travel across the country, one of these people across the country to attend this conference. But you realize when we talk about being a lifeline to a lot of people, and not we personally, but the show and its guests and its message being a lifeline, it really is true. It's not just a tagline that we use. So I was very impressed by that. Golly, what else? One of the highlights, and maybe it's because it came first, was we did the show live there from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois. So the first 2 hours of the conference were really a live remote of the program. And both of our guests did a fantastic job. But I was just stunned. We never, Jeff can assure you, we never take an untested guest and even put them on the air live. We never do that. I mean, maybe we have out of desperation at some time. I didn't know. But generally speaking, if it's a first-time guest, what do, Jeff?
We record it.
Yeah. I mean, because you never know. You can guess how good a guest is going to be, or you might have a really good indication, but you never know. And it also sets the guest at ease, because then they know they're not under the pressure of the live program. If they need to stop and start again, they can. It happens all the time. So we do a lot of pre-recording of first-time guests. But we had a first-time guest for that first hour of the live remote broadcast from the conference, Ed Gremenstein. And I didn't even occur to me, oh, this guy's never been on the program before. Didn't even occur to me, oh, he's a first-time guest and we're not recording it. Oh, he might find this somewhat intimidating sitting in front of 300-plus people doing a radio program. I was stunned how good that guy was. And he sits in front of me in the first pew of the congregation where I serve every Sunday. And I just didn't know he had it in him. It was a remarkable hour talking about Christian preaching and the preaching of law and gospel. And so that's what sticks in my mind mostly, because I was so amazed. Because usually we test people out. We know what they can and can't do. And there he was untested. He did an amazing job. It's a fantastic hour. It's going to be up this afternoon. And I want everybody to listen to it. We're talking about Christian preaching with Ed Gremenstein. And the good news is it was just the first of a series we're going to do with him. So that's one of the highlights for me. There was all sorts of highlights.
What about Lord Feichtinger? What was your personal highlight of the issues, et cetera, 2014 Making the Case Conference?
Well, I guess I would have to say seeing all the folks who travel, like kind of like Todd said, from all corners of the continent, Canada, and all over the United States, shaking hands and like Todd says, hearing the stories, or was it you who said that? But you hear the stories of how issues, et cetera, has affected these folks. And it's very humbling to know that, we have, I guess, a small part in that. But very humbling, like I said, to meet these folks and of course, to see the speakers that we have. I certainly enjoyed the presentations. So for me, it was kind of a all around deal. And I guess on a lesser note, I like Randy's barbecue. So I enjoyed the Saturday evening dinner and Randy's brisket. And, oh, Todd, let me just add one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
My feet Sunday were, I mean, just terrible. And I think the whole thing is, you know, we wear flip-flops and tennis shoes around here.
Yep, my
feet aren't used to, you know, regular dress shoes. So when I wear them for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, my feet are like, what is this? Put on the tennis shoes. So I'm just not used to it.
You know, Craig, you can go eat at Randy's anytime you want.
Oh, he does.
It's here in town.
He does.
Okay. So,
first of all, I've never heard Lord Feichner criticize any meal.
That's
nothing
true.
Nothing against Randy's. Love Randy's House of Barbecue.
Yeah, that's true.
But I've never heard him say a bad thing about a meal.
No. And he says a lot of things about meals.
Yes, we get a play-by-play on his lunch every day, which usually includes what he had for supper the previous night. Or sometimes he's 40 years old, he goes to Ma Feichner's house and gets lunch. And we get play-by-plays on that luncheon, too.
Yeah. I would say
I think
this.
We could find an advertiser for that. Maybe Randy's would do that. Craig, come on every day. And just do a little, like we get, the world needs to be experienced what we get, the play-by-play luncheon of one Craig Feichner.
That's true.
I think there's a market out there.
I wouldn't say the world needs it, but, maybe they ought to see what we have to go through. Who knows? I think kind of the way of summarizing that, Jeff, is that we sit in this kind of dingy little 500 square feet here and do the radio program 2 hours every day. And we certainly hear from our listeners. We get all kinds of love and kudos from our listeners. And I never doubt that it's having an impact. But it is remarkable to hear the listeners describe in their own words, for their own selves, what that impact is. And, I mean, that's a highlight for us. And then to be able – I love being able to show the conference attendees these guests that we have. And – that they are as good as they are on the air if you give them a whole hour to talk about a subject like that, like the subjects they were dealing with at the Making the Case conference. They just blow you out of the water. As good as they are on the air, they really are able to bring that to our listeners in a face-to-face way, the issues, et cetera, Making the Case conference. And the only downside to the weekend, besides being tired, is I know that we've got to do this again next year. And Jeff, I think you said something like about 2 o'clock Saturday afternoon, you were already thinking, oh no. Yeah, we got to start planning now for next year because it's going to be difficult to top this year. And we're not taking credit for it's the fact of the matter is you get those kind of people, those great listeners, those loyal listeners that we have, and the great guests in the same room for a day and a half. And it's bound to be great. Absolutely bound to be great. When we come back, we're going to go to listener email and a little bit of the issues, etc. comment line. It's Tuesday afternoon, June the 17th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Your church service, sanctuary, and congregation are all unique, so why settle for low-quality recordings when your organist is unavailable? The Substitute Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. Log on to churchmusicsolutions.com and request a free demo kit to allow you and your members to use the Substitute Organist Service without obligation and without a sales pitch. Keep singing with Church Music Solutions.
What are some practical and personal issues facing many single men and women? And how can singles live secure in Christ? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Hello, My Name is Single. It's written by regular guest Adrian Dorr Hines. Hello, My Name is Single is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Hello, My Name is Single at issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's a listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line for the first hour. Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse of the Ruth Institute kicks off the second hour. We'll talk about Roman Catholics and the Republican Party. Then Pastor Tom Baker will be teaching a Sunday school lesson. We'll be in 1 Kings 17, Elijah at the Brook Cherith, where God preserves his life through water. We'll also be talking about baptism with him in hour two of Issues Etc.
Back to the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. We added something Friday night. We did Compline. What did you think of that?
I liked it. I think that was Chris Lemker's idea. He thought, you know, something to kind of Chris Lemker was the organist for both. No, he didn't play the organ for Compline, did it? I think that was Zach Stegman. But Chris Lemker always joins us to do the hymn sing at the end of the conference, and so that was an idea of his. And it turned out very nicely. It's kind of showing how these prayer offices can be used rightly. There's no sermon. It was just Pastor Michael Walther and Scott Adel, his associate there at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, walking us through a very brief 10-minute close of day prayer service. And it was a nice addition, I think. It was. You get together. I wasn't arguing with Will Wheaton about this, but he and I have a difference of opinion on this thing. I don't think every conference has to have all sorts of blown out, full-blown worship. Sometimes a conference can just be a conference. I have nothing against worship, obviously, but I don't know if it always has to have a worship component. But his logic, did you hear him say this? No. Okay. His logic on that was, how can the people of God get together and not worship? So he says, he likes to think of it as, we're going to have a worship service. And by the way, just as an aside, we're also going to have a conference. That's the way he likes to look at it. So I think it was appropriate, and it turned out very nice. A nice, quiet way to wind down from a great first day of the conference. By the way, Pastor Jonathan Fisk was in with his family, and they did a great job, fantastic job. Pastor Fisk got up and held forth, and there's a lot of pressure on somebody to be the kickoff of the conference, to kick it off the first night, to kind of show people what's about to happen. And I think Pastor Fisk did a really good job.
Yeah, I was curious as Pastor Fisk, you know, without all the visuals, you know, we don't allow PowerPoint or anything. And he pulled it off. He did a great job.
Yeah.
And the only addition other than some of the newer speakers like Pastor Fisk was we were kind of on risers or something this year. Pastor Walther put us up a little bit higher.
Yeah, they brought in, I mean, I'll call it a stage. It was just kind of a thing that raised us up. He thought it would be a good thing for the show, and I think it turned out great for the remote because people could actually see us rather than have to kind of look at eye level. But then we just left it there for the speakers, and I think it added a little something there for people to be able to see because the place was full. To me it looks like it holds about 375 on the floor and then an addition up in the balcony, and it was full of people. So seeing and hearing were very important. So that was a good addition. The other thing we did was we were able to give we'll call it the second annual because someone reminded me there's no such thing as a first annual. But we gave the second annual Norman Nagel Award out. This is an award that we give to people who, in our estimation, as producers of Issues, et cetera, who have not only contributed to the kind of ongoing life of issues, et cetera, as a guest, but also made a broader contribution. It went last year to Dr. Ronald Feuerhahn. He was the first recipient of this award, and he was in attendance then and this year as well. And this year we gave it to Pastor Clement Preuss, who wasn't able to accept it there. He would, you know, I really wish he would have been able to be there, but he's in failing health, in hospice, and we wanted to be able to give it to him. His nephew, Dirk Preuss, was able to come over and receive it on his behalf. And then Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, had just spoken, and he said some very kind and very true things about Pastor Clement Preuss. And he'd also just been up to visit him and his family, seeing as Clem is in hospice. Keep the family in your prayers, by the way. And hopefully Dirk will be able to get up to see Clement and let Clement, as he said, hold the Norman Nagel Award in his own hands here in his last days.
Speaking of President Harrison, I thought he did a great job Saturday morning on making the case for confessional Lutheranism in the 21st century.
Well, sure you do, because you wrote his outline for him. I mean, that's what he got up and he said, about 8:30 last night, I started getting texts from Jeff Schwartz asking me what I was going to present on, and then he started asking me rapid-fire questions. I get these kind of texts from Jeff, too. Sometimes they're just one after another. And he said, all I'm going to do, I'm just going to follow Jeff's outline. But he did a fantastic job. You know what he is? He's a storyteller. He's got all this history, because he's a great student of Reformation history. He's got all this history pent up inside him. And he is able to kind of wind it into a great story. And I loved the line. You said that people were tweeting this line.
The most retweeted line was from the conference, was from his presentation, and it was, "Do not lose heart. You are not crazy. You are an Orthodox Lutheran." It was all over the Twitter feed.
Yeah. So, and that was a great way for him to end, to say, look, and as he said for years now, he says, this is confessional Lutheranism, or he likes to say Orthodox Lutheranism. This is our moment. This is the opportunity. This is the time for us to step in to both the church and the world and offer what we uniquely have in a sound confession, in a historic form of worship. The church and the world, although they don't know it and would certainly not admit it, are just waiting for this. And I happen to agree with them. Anything else?
The only other first-time speaker this year was Craig Parton, and you know, he brings two unique things to the table. He's obviously well-versed in the issue of apologetics, but he came as a convert from evangelicalism, used to work for Campus Crusade for Christ, to confessional Lutheranism. So he was our keynote speaker, and it's kind of neat because he can talk about more than just one subject.
He doesn't hold back, does he?
No.
He's very frank.
He's Montgomery-esque.
Yes. And by the way, I had several people ask me, are you going to have Dr. John Warwick Montgomery as a conference speaker next time? And all I can tell you is we are doing our best. Craig Parton, who works with him in the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, promised that he would, insofar he is able, twist Dr. Montgomery's arm to try and get him to come. I think the willingness is certainly there on the part of Dr. Montgomery to be a speaker at the conference. But he has his own conference in July, early in July, in Strasbourg, France, and that makes it difficult for him to leave the preparations for that and come for ours mid-June and then go back and pick up the preparations for the Strasbourg conference in July. But maybe next year, if we get his arm twisted far enough, he'll come. We certainly want him to be our keynote speaker at some time in the near future at the conference.
And then we had three speakers that were with us last year, Dr. Alvin Schmidt, different topics, Pastor Will Whedon and Chris Roseborough. Chris's ending of his presentation, maybe you might summarize that for our listeners.
God, I'm trying to recall it because he almost had me in tears.
Talking about David and Goliath.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The five stones.
Yeah. I mean, I told him, I said, did you steal that from a church father? And he said, I think I did. But he ended by, he was talking about me-centered, misquoted Bible passages. And so he was taking these passages that people who are familiar with American evangelicalism hear ad nauseum and are told ad nauseum that it's about them. So he walked through several of them. And the last one he did was David and Goliath, which, of course, if you're familiar with American evangelicalism, you're going to be taught that you're David and life and your troubles or whatever else is Goliath, and that you can go out there and, you know, like that young pup running out there onto the field, and you can defeat the giant. And the two lines that stuck out to me at the end of his presentation, Chris Roseboe's presentation, was, you know, who is it that is winning the victory there against the Philistine when David slays the giant? And he said, it's Jesus. Jesus is there already in the loins of his forefather, David, destroying the Philistine army and slaying their champion. That stuck out to me, but even more so, you know, the story is that he went out and he brought with him five smooth stones. And he said, Chris said, when I teach this to the young people in his congregation, he says, I take them to the altar there in the church. And I ask them, where are the five smooth stones? And most traditional altars in liturgical churches have five crosses generally inscribed into the top of them, the top of the table, so to speak, one on each corner and one in the center. Or if they don't have them there, they're on the linen that sits on top of there. And he made the connection between David's five smooth stones and the five wounds of Christ that those five crosses represent, hands, feet, side. And oh my goodness, I'd never heard any. I was sitting up there in the front row, kind of waiting for, watching the clock, waiting to do a little Q&A. It totally caught me off guard. It was amazing. And I said it then, I'll say it again. Chris Roseboe got installed as pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, the day after that, Sunday. And has wanted to be a Lutheran pastor for a long time. He's going to make a great pastor.
A quick email from Monica in Springfield, Illinois. We were truly hoping to attend the Making the Case conference, but it didn't work out. Will this conference be streamed online or at later sometime? Will there be a recording available?
There will be a recording available in about a month, hopefully a little sooner than a month. We will have a audio DVD, not a video, an audio DVD. It's the only way to fit 10, it's about 10, 11 hours of audio that we need to fit on one medium, and it works best on a DVD. We're going to have that available in about a month. If you attended the conference, you'll get it for a very low price, and everyone else, we try and find a price there on that DVD for people who did not attend the conference that's going to be fair to the people who did attend the conference, who paid the registration fee and paid out of their own pocket to travel and stay in hotels. As I said, 31 states were represented. So people, it was a big layout of money for some people to come to this conference in addition to the $100 registration fee. So we're trying to find a price on that audio DVD available in about a month. Everything from the conference, the worship, the Q&A, the presentations, the hymn singer, they're all on there at a price that'll be fair to everybody, those who attended and those who did not. So that'll be out in about a month. Conference attendees, you'll get an email that will offer you the DVD at a special price, and then we'll open it up to everybody. So if you had to miss it, if you missed it, yes, it will be available for you to hear the entire thing in about a month. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, You'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Here in the first hour, going through listener email and the Issues, Etc. comment line, some reflection on this last weekend's Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference. Someone had asked online whether or not we were going to take this thing on the road, and I think I can say pretty definitively no. Pulling it off only less than a quarter of a mile from the studio is a pretty big undertaking, and taking it on the road would probably be prohibitive at this point. Plus, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church over there in Collinsville just proves to be an excellent place. That's the other thing I heard probably the most from anybody who walked into that church and said, wow. They walked in and said, this is a great place for the conference. This is a great worship space, as they say. So it was very nice. A big thanks to Michael Walther, who's the senior pastor there, Scott Adel, who's the associate, and Marty Hoffman, who is their parish administrator, who was invaluable for the entire conference. He really was. It was we should probably call him like assistant conference coordinator or something, because he was so helpful, so willing. Never, you know, he's just one of those guys that was always ready to do anything he had to do. Pick up stuff, carry stuff, whatever he had to do. It was great.
Also, Pastor Walther's wife, Carol Walther, absolutely. She was awesome. We didn't have to worry about any of the food stuff and the coffee. She was always manning that down there. And Zach Stegman,
yeah,
who's a parishioner there, a good friend of the show, who, by the way, might be, you know, they were expecting any day now. We haven't heard from the Stegmans yet, but the guy was...
driving people around.
Yeah. Yeah, he went to the airport and
carrying
picked up Roseboro and
carrying
Parton.
Setting stuff up. It was awesome. It was great. And actually a lot of the attendees, the listeners there when we had to break down after the show, they were very helpful too. They just pitched in and carried stuff wherever it needed to be carried.
I wrote down in my little daily memo or legal pad,
mm-hmm,
memo. Conference intern 2015. We need a conference intern.
Yeah, we do.
We need somebody just like follow me around and follow you, you know what I'm saying? Just like an intern or something.
Oh, yeah.
Got anybody majoring in event management? Come see us.
I realized a lot of the time I was just wandering around aimlessly because you think, I got to go take care of this and I got to go take care of that, and they're on opposite sides of the building. But it was great.
I think the thing is, and this is probably way too personal and it's an exaggeration, but you feel like you're hosting, like somebody's coming to your house. You know, almost 350 people coming to your house. You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, they're visitors, right? And so there's that when somebody comes to your house, you want to be, you know, good
host.
Yeah. You want to be good host. And so, and you got that, and you got vendors, you know, the people that are selling merchandise out in the narthex. And it's you know, and like you said, at like 2 o'clock, I mean, I'm listening to speakers and we're getting the feedback from the people, are like, you know, the pressure's mounting for next year.
We won't top it next year. Okay.
Yeah.
It would be as good, maybe less. Who knows? But we're not going to top it next year. We managed to top last year. This year, we're done topping. We're just going to be consistent now. We're going to plateau and maintain consistency. That's what we're going to do. So don't expect anything more next year.
Stay the course.
Stay the course. George H.W. Bush, the absolute best policy
he
in life.
Residency.
Yes. It's the best policy in life. I say it so often. Just stay the course. Maintain whatever you got going. Keep it going. Don't go crazy. Don't get inventive. Just stay the course.
All right. Since we're about 35 minutes into this segment, how about we actually get to some email?
Hey, you're the one with the email in your hand. I'm just sitting in here.
Paul from Ohio writes. He says, "I wanted to take a moment to respond to the listener who wrote in following Pastor Swirla's segment on the commandment, 'You shall not commit adultery.' He was struggling with sexual sins and was asking for additional help and resources to combat this temptation. You pointed him to the resource of confession and absolution. This was excellent because it takes the sin out of the darkness of the sinner's heart, where Satan can use it to compound the evil, and exposes it to the light of the Holy Scripture. I would like to offer a few additional resources. The first is the use of prayer. Galatians 5 talks about one of the fruits of the Spirit being self-control. An issue with sexual sins is that there is often a lack of self-control when it comes to the specific act. Since the Holy Spirit is a gift given to all Christians in baptism, the fruit of self-control is a gift that the Christian can pray for and know that the Holy Spirit will give it. When in the throes of temptation, a Christian can meditate on this passage and pray this passage and be confident that the Holy Spirit will be active and give what he promised to provide. The second resource that might be helpful to mention is that of the behavioral sciences. Now, certainly, science cannot overcome the old Adam and drive out the sinful flesh, and sin is most definitely a spiritual issue that requires spiritual attention. But sexual sins, while still sin, are also behaviors, and behavioral sciences can help us to understand our behaviors better. A good Christian counselor can be of much service to the Christian who is struggling with sexual sin and temptation. A counselor can help the Christian to understand why he or she is susceptible to this particular behavior. A Christian counselor can help provide strategies for dealing with the feelings, the emotions, the fears or anxieties, etc., that lead the Christian to this particular behavior. Hopefully, the Christian can circumvent the behavior before it occurs. This is not an automatic fix. There is still absolutely and most importantly need for confession and absolution. There is most definitely need for prayer. There is a need for the strength that the Lord gives in the Lord's Supper and His Word. But Christians can make use of even the secular resources that the Lord has provided to help us understand ourselves and our behaviors and our susceptibilities. Perhaps a listener who wrote in with this question could work together with his pastor to find a counselor who could help him as he struggles through these challenging issues. Thanks for the opportunity to respond, and thanks as always for the good work that you do, concludes Paul in Ohio.
And we often say smartest listeners in radio. I think that's great advice. The one thing I would add to it is your pastor isn't going to be able to wear both hats, and he shouldn't. Even if your pastor has, say, a degree in counseling, which some pastors do, I think it's a good idea to have your father confessor and your counselor, speaking in that secular sense, be two different people. So many pastors are willing to offer counsel when they're unqualified to deal with the nuts and bolts of actual counseling. I'm not talking about Christian counseling. I'm just talking about counseling, period. They're not qualified. Getting a collar does not make you qualified. It does qualify you to do your primary vocation, which is to hear confession and absolve sins, which any pastor both can and ought to do. That's what the pastor ought to be sought for, is confession and absolution, and the kind of counsel that he can give based upon Holy Scripture. But that does not preclude going to someone who will not deal with the issues of confession and absolution, but will deal with kind of the practical nuts and bolts of whatever it may be, if it's of a sexual nature, anything else. It can be very helpful to have. I kind of look at it this way. It's always helpful to have another person looking at the situation with a objective, disinterested, not uninterested, but disinterested perspective to be able to talk about these kinds of struggles. And your pastor's there to be your pastor. Your counselor will be there to be your counselor. So to keep those two things separate, even if your pastor says, hey, I can also give you some counseling on this, my own opinion is it's wise to say, Pastor, I will come to you to hear my confession and give absolution. But can you recommend someone who's qualified to counsel in this area? Good advice.
Although some of the preaching you hear nowadays, you think pastors would rather be psychologists.
Yes.
Than pastors.
And that's what I'm talking about. The pastor who says, well, I guess I can absolve you, but haven't you come to me for counseling? Look, pastors can give the counsel of Holy Scripture, the counsel of God's Word. That's what they're qualified to do. They're not qualified to give clinical counseling. Most of them aren't, unless they have degrees in that. And even if they are, I think they probably should choose one or the other. Which are you going to do? Because I don't think you can be both to someone who comes to you struggling with sin. I really don't. I think you need to say, I'm qualified to do this and I will always be your pastor, but let me help you find someone else who has that disinterested perspective who can give you the kind of counsel, that nuts and bolts counsel when struggling with temptation, when struggling with anything in life. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back, more of your email.
I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby just hooked me a little.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler, pastor, or teacher? Would you like to be equipped to teach more effectively? Join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 15th through the 17th at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Find the conference schedule recently posted at ccle.org. Discover the education that is our Lutheran heritage, ccle.org.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi. This is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952, Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. 10 more minutes here in the first hour, going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll talk about Roman Catholics and the Republican Party with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse in hour two, along with Pastor Tom Baker, teaching a Sunday school lesson on Elijah at the Brook Cherith in 1 Kings chapter 17.
Every time that I hear the Lionel Richie Hello bump music, I feel compelled to issue the disclaimer that bump music was chosen by one Lord Feichtinger.
It was?
Yes. Yes.
How do you remember that?
Because I would not put Lionel Richie. Okay. I do have, I have very, my standards are pretty open. You know, they're not very rigid when it comes to bump music. But that one was chosen by one Lord Feichninger. Anyway, just wanted to disavow myself of Lionel Richie.
You know what? I remember Lionel Richie. That puts me in seventh grade, probably. About seventh grade. Maybe not that particular. Craig could probably tell us exactly when that was published, but I just remember Lionel Richie being one of those kind of. Those are the songs you played when you had the parties in seventh grade, and you were trying.
Wait a second, you had parties in seventh grade? What kind of parties were going on in seventh grade?
You'd be surprised.
You went to Lutheran school, didn't you?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Yeah, I remember that. Lionel Richie. The memories are extremely vague, though. I mean, right now it's just shadowy. All I can remember is Lionel Richie. So,
all right, this email comes from James. He says, I was listening to your conversation with Pastor Tom Baker about the Israelites in the wilderness. I may not have understood correctly, but he seemed to indicate that the rock from which water flowed was Christ himself. When I was reading in Exodus from the Lutheran Study Bible, the notes seemed to indicate that Luther believed this to be an analogy. The rock points to Christ, but not Christ manifested. So my question is, am I missing something in my understanding about what Pastor Baker was trying to say? Thanks for listening, James.
Pretty sure what Pastor Baker was saying was, knowing him as I do, he was saying what the text says. And there's no doubt about it that Christ is there in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire in the text. And he's there at the very least, he's at the rock because in the text, the Lord actually promises, I will come down and stand there at this rock. You strike the rock and the people will drink. So, I don't think he'd say it was an analogy. Now, we're free to disagree with Luther because Lutherans are not bound to everything Luther said, but Lutherans are bound to what is taught in the Lutheran confessions. And there's a lot that Luther said in his commentaries and elsewhere. Might be great stuff, but we're not necessarily bound to Luther's interpretation of every individual passage. I think the thing that kind of settles it here, or maybe even raises further questions, is what does Paul mean in 1 Corinthians 10, if I'm not mistaken, when he says that rock was Christ? Because the New Testament is going, if it does speak to the issue at all, will give us the definitive interpretation of Exodus chapter 17 with respect to that question. And Paul seems to be of the mind that the rock was Christ, that somehow Christ is manifested there in the rock. Although all the text from Exodus 17 says is, I will go and stand there at the rock. That's what the Lord says. I'll stand at the rock. So he's present there. How he is present is not explained. But we do have to struggle with that rock was Christ. Now, granted, Paul is playing upon kind of a rabbinic tradition that there was this rock that kind of followed them around through the wilderness providing water. It's a rabbinic tradition. It's not part of the Old Testament story or the Old Testament text. So when he says that rock was Christ, is he saying in this rabbinic tradition of this constant supply of water from a rock, let's read that as Christ? Or is he saying Christ is somehow manifested in Exodus 17 in or as this rock that gives water? In any case, we do know one thing. The source of the water is Christ. The source of the provision is Christ. When we say, praise God from whom all blessings flow, we are not simply speaking generically about a God out there someplace, but about Christ. We have all these things, as we say in the old prayer at mealtime. We have all these things from God's bounteous provision in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Todd, I wanted to call and thank you for having Dr. Bennett on as a guest. I've read his book. I've listened to the shows. And what I especially appreciate is not what he tells me about demons, which for the Christian seems to be I'm baptized in Jesus' name. Go away. But what he tells me about the Christian life, which is that God is doing the doing. My life is one of reception. And because God is doing the doing, I can have peace and relax. For me, I only need to go to church, hear the word proclaimed, hear the word preached, receive the sacraments, and fulfill my vocation. Great guest, great shows, great book. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we did a series recently with Dr. Robert Bennett on his book, I Am Not Afraid, on demon possession and spiritual warfare, and he came back to this again and again. It's a great series. You can go listen to it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, a 5-part series, I believe, with him. And he kept coming back again and again and again to that same point, and it's one that needs to be emphasized. Whether it is spiritual warfare or exorcism or dealing with the devil in the struggles of everyday life, the Christian does not go toe-to-toe with the devil, does not try to stand on the same ground as the devil, does not fight fire with fire. The Christian simply tells the devil that that Christ is here and he'd better get out, and says, Christ will deal with you. In fact, this is the Council of Holy Scripture. One of the latter epistles talks about this. Again, kind of appealing to an old rabbinic tradition that even the archangel, when haggling with the devil over the body of Moses, did not try to fight him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And it's a simple way of saying, the Lord is here, you need to leave. And that's exorcism. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? There's no swinging of crucifixes. There's no splashing of holy water. There's no long Latin phrases. There's simply, Jesus is here. Jesus has already dealt with the devil. And the devil cannot withstand him. And that's why we can say the devil can't withstand us. It's not because we have some sort of power against the devil. We don't. Jesus does. It's a great way of looking at pretty much the devil in every aspect of life.
Here's one final email. Charles in California. From what I've seen, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod seems to be organized in such a way that when a pastor begins to preach falsely or espouse liberal theology to their congregation, they can be removed. Also, as far as I understand it, we in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are not structured in such a way to do so. I understand that this was one of the reasons Wells broke fellowship with us, and they seem to be justified in doing so. Shouldn't congregations and pastors be accountable to someone other than themselves? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in California, Charles.
Well, okay. I don't know the history of the Wisconsin Synod, of the particulars of the Wisconsin Synod being a small conservative and confessional Lutheran church body in the United States, smaller, very similar to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, the denomination to which I belong. I'm not familiar with the particulars. If they're following in the historic tradition of the church and therefore of the Lutheran confession, generally pastors can be removed only by their congregations, not by anyone else. Unless, of course, your church body has some kind of episcopal form of polity, which is neither here nor there, then the bishop is given the authority by the congregation to do that. They delegate that authority to him. But generally speaking, in a congregational system, which most Lutherans have in the United States, it's only the congregation who can remove the pastor from his call. No one else can. Well, the pastor can remove himself. That is, he can say, I give up. It's not a good thing to do, but he can remove himself. The congregation can remove him for one of three reasons: for the persistent and unrepentant teaching of false doctrine, and that is either in teaching or in practice. They can remove him, and again, this is persistent and unrepentant. They seek to have him desist rather than persist, and to repent rather than to continue teaching this way. They can remove him for kind of a gross, flagrant sin that brings ill repute on his preaching, on his office, so it makes it humanly impossible for him to carry out the office there. They can remove him for that, and they can also remove him for an unwillingness or And sometimes in the sad case, an inability to carry out the duties of his call. Those are the only three legitimate reasons. Now, you're going to hear all sorts of horror stories about pastors being removed for reasons other than those, and those congregations are sinning. They're not just breaking church law or violating church polity. They are sinning against the word of God, and then they should be called to repent if they remove their pastor for any other reason. But in answer to your question, shouldn't congregations be accountable? Everyone's accountable to the word of God. We do have overseers, district presidents, who are there simply to remind the congregation that they're accountable to the word of God, to remind the pastor that he's accountable to the word of God. But at least in the polity I'm familiar with, only the congregation can remove the pastor. A district president can take you off the synodical roster, that is the list of pastors, but that doesn't take you out of the office. Only the congregation can do that. I hope that answers the question. The Issues Etc. book of the month for the month of June is aimed at singles, but it's not only for singles. It's for people who might someday find themselves single. You're married now, but perhaps through the sad circumstance of divorce, God forbid, or the death of your spouse, you might find yourself single. Maybe you're single now and you don't want to be. Maybe you're single now and you think this is the way you'd like it to be the rest of your life. It's a godly vocation. Find out more about Hello, My Name is Single by Adrian Dore Heinz, The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for June, at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Hello, My Name is Single, 1-800-325-3040. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.